Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, let go. You're rolling with J&J, 929 FM, ESPN. Charles Huff era in Memphis has begun. I'm fired up. I wasn't even there. Had Grizz beat duties yesterday. Myself and, more importantly, more dignified company, Jarvis Greer, the Hall of Famer, could not be there. Would have loved to have been because it felt special, felt like I needed to be in those big moments, much like when Penny Hardaway took the job. And I didn't get to make Ryan's either, and that was emotional.
I was there on your behalf.
You were there on my behalf, I remember. And this one, boy, we'll talk about how it stacks up, but Charles Huff got some people fired up yesterday.
Fired up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If it was game one and you know, he won. You know, you had something in front of you. You can't really win it. Can't put players out there. But he certainly knocked it out of the park, I thought. I went back and watched it and certainly have some things to say today in terms of what we think. And I can't wait to hear what my partner John Martin thinks. He is here. He's a multimedia star. You guys know him by now. It's his 10th year doing this as a host, but you've been on the radio for what, 25 years?
About, because I actually
started very young.
Started doing guest hits, and then I was a producer starting in 2013.
I'm grateful to be joined by someone with your expertise and experience.
It's good to lend it. It's good to be able to lend it.
I'm also grateful, and I know you are, to have King George here. Now, he stopped everything he was doing today.
Facts.
He was headed to a workout. King George likes to keep it tight. I respect that.
Try my best.
And he had to turn that little sports car around. Some don't call it a sports car. I do.
Turn that little go-kart.
And he had to speed up here to Shelby County.
Facts.
To come help this show. And so if you don't respect that, I don't know what you respect. A man that's flexible and willing to step up when needed. George, we love you.
Thank you.
Shout out to George. And thank you for whipping that 350Z around. And it is a 350Z, isn't it?
No.
What is it?
It's a Toyota. It's a little GR86.
Oh, okay. All right. You don't have to put little in front
bunch
of
little
it.
Letters and numbers on
no,
it.
You ain't got to put little in front of it, man. You know, own it.
Oh, it is definitely little.
Embrace it.
It gets up and goes.
And where is your gym membership, if I may ask?
It is not with a sponsor.
It's okay. We have a sponsor?
George, you don't have to reveal and don't feel pressured to.
I don't think we have.
It's at the purple one. It's at the purple gym.
Okay. Planet Fitness?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but are they Purple Diamond?
Gone.
I mean, that's a workout. That's a workout. But I don't know if George is saved. I mean, you're going to have to work on him. You know, you got the deacon. You guys can work that out between you maybe during the break here. Big show today. Sharone Moore needs saving. You want to talk about somebody that needs some saving, Deacon?
Needs it more than me, that's for sure.
Oh,
I didn't see
man.
That one coming, but apparently some did.
Apparently some did. That was going around in the state of Michigan for quite some time. But Sherrone Moore has been accused of a relationship with a subordinate, with an assistant, and impregnating her, and then paying for the abortion of said baby. So, and now he's been fired. He's been fired and arrested. He had a bad Wednesday. I think that's in the running for worst Wednesday of all time. I mean, I really do. For an individual, I would say it's in the running for the worst Wednesday of all time. So,
well, it's also opened up.
It has.
Michigan.
It absolutely has.
And what was already a crazy,
yes,
one of the craziest coaching carousels we've ever seen.
LSU opened up. Ole Miss opened up. Michigan's now open. People are saying Alabama could now come open.
Exactly.
Which means LSU could come open again. I mean, this is absolutely nuts.
I thought it was slowing down. I thought it was stopping.
I'm 34. You're 56. This has to be the most.
Not 56.
This has to be the most outlandish college football coaching carousel we've had in 1 year.
I think so. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's about to pick up again if a big dog leaves a big dog.
Yep.
Because then again.
Yep.
If DeBoer goes,
yep,
and that's the name you hear first. Michigan's got to call him. They got to, you know, they
exactly.
Gotta, and everybody talks about, well, how it's not necessarily a great fit for him. Now, everything he said is that he's fine, but you have to call.
You have to call. And
so what if that happens?
I think
to your point,
he's got to be wanting to get out of that fishbowl, bro. They're talking about him getting fired if he lost to Auburn.
Well, and think about who he'll always be compared to coming in the wake, you know, of Saban. He won't be able to do enough.
Yeah. Now the next, you know, and that job becomes even more attractive. I mean, they'll just call Lane and Lane will go. I don't know what his contract at LSU says, but they will be in the market for another coach if Alabama opens up.
Everybody talks about him being one on the list in terms of who you call. So that's the other part.
I need a drink. I need a swig.
That's the other part about that Moore story is what it opens up.
No doubt.
Yeah. On this coaching carousel.
And Michigan is obviously a prime job. So
yeah.
They will have no shortage of candidates. So we'll get into that today here on the show. Excited about the show today. Drew Hill is going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him about the Memphis Grizzlies. We will ask, is he worried about losing his football coach? Does he even mind? Does he hope to lose his football? In Memphis, we hope to lose Ryan Silverfield.
He does have them in the playoff.
They are the playoff. That is true. But I'm just curious what the temperature will be with Drew.
Yep.
So he'll join us at 11:25. Obviously, Grizzlies are not in action again until tomorrow, but are now firmly ninth. In the West, we'll ask him who will finish second in the NBA this year, because I'm ready to go ahead and call it for first place. Who's going to get the honors of finishing second? Because OKC is, I was actually calling Jay. I called Jason just to check in last night to make sure CJ was, you know, doing what he needs to do in the gym.
Yep.
And he was telling me about the crime scene that was taking place in the NBA Cup.
I mean, you basically go, it was a 50-point win, 49.
Yep.
I realized Devin Booker was not playing, but you know, they just outclassed them, out everything them. Phoenix tried to get physical. Grayson gets thrown out for pushing. You know, it's pushing back on Chet Holmgren, and Jalen Williams steps up and pushes him back. And you're just not going to punk them. You know, they're as young as they are. They feel so established as the standard, and it doesn't feel like they're going to slow down. SGA's missed the one game. He was back for this one. He did his thing smoothly. Sometimes he's just on cruise control. My point would be, it looks so easy for them.
Yep.
To just dominate.
Absolutely.
And to your point, I don't know how you stop them.
Absolutely. And they want to do it. That's the thing.
They're young enough to want to do it.
I actually love that. Like, I love the fact that they love playing basketball.
It's great for the league.
Because the league got to a point to where it felt like folks stopped loving playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Thunder they want to beat you by a billion. They want to play,
yep,
and they want to beat you by a billion.
Yep.
And they will, probably.
They're capable of playing the villain. I think that's what people are going to question about them, as young as they are. And that's getting pushed a little bit last night. They showed that.
Yep.
I mean, they just fed off of it almost.
Absolutely.
Jalen's flexing to the crowd. The crowd gets in, and they go up another 10 points.
Yep.
Because they're just fired up.
Yep.
Let's put this junk team away.
Well,
they destroy people.
You know, that's the arc, right? I would compare it to the dynasty of the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
When Steph and Clay and Draymond and all those guys started, it was like a sweet story. It was like they took over this hapless Golden State franchise. They got drafted later in the first round. Draymond was a second round guy, and they were like this upstart. Well, then they started winning a lot. And then they started winning more than anybody else. And by the time that they had won 73 games, they were like the Death Star in the NBA. Yep. And they became the team you love to beat. And they were no longer the darlings. They were the villains. And I think that OKC started the same way. OKC, small market, SGA, nice star, gets traded over. Now they're on their way to being that team. They are that team, as far as I'm concerned. And they look like they're probably going to beat that 73 win mark. I mean, I'd bet on it today, wouldn't you?
As of now, yes.
Yeah. Yes. So that means they have to go 74-8. I mean, they're going to. Yeah. They're going to go 74.
Barring injury, yes.
Yeah. So,
but injury may not stop them, depending upon who it is.
No question. No question about it. Because you know what? Everybody else is going to have injuries, too. And their players are better than yours.
They're deeper in a way that no one else in the league is.
Exactly. So, anyway, we'll get into all that today. Drew Hill will join us at 11:25. 12:25, Dan Wolkin will hop on with us. And we'll talk to him about Memphis's hire of Charles Huff. We'll talk to him about the Michigan situation. You know, he wrote today that Michigan needs to just absolutely cut ties with anybody and everybody that's linked to Jim Harbaugh. That, you know, if anybody's still remaining, you got to let him go.
Well, now would be the time. Yeah.
Yes. Now, I don't. I'm not going to sit here and blame Jim Harbaugh for what Sherrone Moore did. I mean, he ain't there. He's coaching the Chargers.
Yeah.
But obviously he was a Harbaugh hire.
Well, you're just saying you have to go in a completely different direction.
Right, right. I mean, Sandusky was a Joe Paterno hire, even though Paterno allegedly knew about it in some way and turned his head. That's a different situation. But still, they obviously took down the statue at Penn State and totally restarted there. So Dale Wilkin will join us at 12:25. And then at 1:25, we are going to be joined by Bennett Oil. Bennett Oil will be in here from Grind City Media. We'll talk to him about you know, Memphis football's hire, his thoughts on that, Grizz, Tiger basketball, and more. So that is the show today. But yes, Charles Huff was introduced yesterday. I was driving home from picking up my kids, and I was listening to Jeffrey Wright and Coach Norton Hurd. And I was just wondering what, you know, would they have audio? Would they have, they played his closing statement, and I was almost veered off the road. I just could not believe that this was somebody that was talking about Memphis football. I thought they were talking about like Ohio State or, you know, Tennessee or a blue blood. It's, I guess is how it sounded to me.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a few clips here from Charles Huff. Again, he had a press conference yesterday, and then he had a separate scrum along with Ed Scott. This is sort of from – these clips are going to be from the intro of Charles Huff, but he talks about why did he come here? Why did Charles Huff come here? This is what he said.
Mission, why am I here? I'm here to close the gap. That's the mission, to close the gap. We've been good. We've won a lot of games. It's time to win a championship. That's flat out why we're here.
All right, there you go. It's time to win a championship. How do you grade that answer?
A plus. I mean, that he and again, you know, he's going to understand, have been briefed and thoroughly briefed on the situation here at Memphis and what's needed. And so I expected to hear something along these lines. The way I would address it is this: for all of those that have said, man, 8-9 wins it's a good enough job. You know, I'm happy. Everything's fine. You know, I think this speaks to that. There was still a gap. And it was a gap that frankly, we were crying about that you were, you didn't feel like you were making up with Ryan Silverfield, and we saw it. You didn't. He comes in and addresses it immediately. That sure, you know, 8 wins. Yeah. That's tough to do. And he said that later on, he respects 8-9 wins, 10 wins as a football coach. But when it doesn't come with a conference championship, he understands there's a gap.
Yep.
So you address it immediately. And back to the point, for all of those that have said, you know, kind of like the old times. And listen, I'm not saying this in a disrespectful manner, but I lived through the tough times, and these are better, right? And that's fine.
Yep.
Not fine enough in this day and age when, again, you've got the resources, and you heard that word over and over and over yesterday. For Charles Huff, it's more resources than he ever had. But you've got the resources to be better, right? This is why it felt like, man, if you could just move on from Ryan Silverfield, whatever. Understand he's got 4 more years on camp. But you weren't making up the gap. Charles Huff is here to address it.
Yep.
And he hit that head on. I thought for those that understand where Memphis has got to be right now, not get to, got to be right now, competing for conference championships,
yep,
winning them.
Yep.
It was music to our ears.
Absolutely. Agreed totally with what you said. He also talked about, you know, theory versus application, and, you know, his vision for the program. We talked about, you know, accountability and things along those lines. And this really is the answer that I love the most. This is what he had to say about his vision and accountability and his outlook on the program.
I told Dr. Scott, I'm working on application, not theory. I know this process works. This ain't what I hope's going to happen in a year, what I hope's going to happen in 6 months. I've won 2 championships, 3, if you count back when I was playing. I know what it looks like. And I don't say that boastfully. I say that because I know it takes work. It takes collaboration. It takes a vision. It takes guys holding guys accountable. It takes people in this city helping us get to where we want to go. So we're building on something, right?
He's talking about theory versus application. I love that because he's saying, listen, I ain't got to come here and hypothesize about doing these things because I've done them. Mm-hmm. I know what it takes, you know, and that's when it kind of goes back to the qualifications and you know, when we talk about most qualified coaches that have been hired in the history of the University of Memphis, I think that's kind of the idea is like, listen, I've done this and I know, you know, what I'm going to expect from my players, the kind of guys I'm going to have to recruit,
right,
the kind of, you know, standard I have to set. You know, it's not guesswork with him. Now, you know, again, this is also the best league he's ever coached in terms of talent pool. But I don't think it's that much better. I don't think it's that much different. It's not going from the American to the SEC, for example, when you can't really talk like that. So I don't know where you came down on that, but I love that piece of from him.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, part of that was, and he talked about it, I don't know if this is one of the clips you selected, but he talked about it, what made him the best hire, frankly, in the American. Said it out loud.
Yep.
I mean, he said it, no disrespect to Brian Hardline and those guys, but he's 0-0.
Yep.
I've done this before, and that's what makes me different, right? And not just done it and ran a good program. I've run championship programs. And frankly, you know, you look at it and you say, okay, yeah, was probably headed towards one at Southern Miss, first year, 1 win, second year, 7 wins. And so, and what was he winning in Marshall? There's third year.
Yep.
So this is a guy that's done it. He brings that to the table different than the, if you'd gotten the OC or the DC, sure hot, but hasn't done it before. And so it's reassuring, but to hear him put himself up against, you know, everybody else in the conference, including South Florida, which has got more than you in terms of what it's spending on its roster. I loved the transparency. I loved the realness, and I loved the competitiveness.
Yeah. All right. More from Charles Huff. This is just sort of about his readiness. And look, I think this is just easy to say, but he did say it. He talked about how prepared his teams are going to be wherever, whenever. This is what he had to say.
Everybody wants to know what's the team going to look like. It's plain and simple. We're going to be the most physically dominant team in the country. And that's our goal every single day, to work to be the most physically dominant team in the country. They'll be made up of fierce competitors. Like I said, spot the ball, we'll play. Doesn't matter. Let me know what time we need the team to be there, we'll play. And then we're going to be ultimately resilient and understand how to suffer.
So there you go. Spot the ball, we'll play. He said that a couple of times throughout the press conference. And you know, listen, I think that's rah-rah stuff more than anything else. He said he wants to be the most physically dominant team in the country. Obviously not going to happen at Memphis, but I do like the ambition. I like the fact that this sort of felt like, in a way, the whole thing, not just this quote, but the whole thing felt like in some sense comparable to Penny saying we want all the smoke. That kind of is how that press conference felt to me. He didn't make any necessarily like, you know, declarative statement in the same way, but like, mm-hmm, he definitely did not shy away from Memphis football fans and this program winning championships. Like,
I don't think you can come in. I don't think you can come in and do that. No matter if you were someone that's a former sitting head coach or a coordinator, right? You would understand that through the interviews,
right?
That's what was missing,
right,
in terms of here's the juice. We've got to get the juice, and here's what's missing. And again, that's not to take away credit from any credit from Huff in the way he addressed it.
Right.
And I loved, you know, his enthusiasm about doing so. But like you said, I mean, that you know, someone's going to come in here and say, what can I do better?
Yep.
If they haven't, if they don't know the program already, and most are familiar with Memphis, obviously, with its position in the group of five, you're going to know very quickly what fans want to hear in terms of winning championships. I thought one thing, you said you were listening to Jeffrey and Hurd. I was listening to Gabe later on.
Yep.
And Gabe played at Memphis, Gabe Kuden Show. You should be listening every day. But he talked about defensively and them wanting to run, Huff wanting to run a 4-2-5. And here's why I love listening to Gabe, because I'm not smart enough to know, you know, which defensive formation is going to work best. Like, what I do know, and Gabe touched on this, Jordan Hankins was multiple. You would see, I think this might matter. You would see different defenses from him. He liked to keep you guessing and everything else. And to this point, is it better to be great at one thing and to be, you know, not again that you're not going to have, you know, wrinkles, be able to change up defenses, but is it better to be one thing? You know, Jordan Hankins' defense wasn't good enough the last couple of years. For that, what was it, Matt Barnes?
Yep.
You know, to get to one thing and be great at it, and he talked about that, the kinds of players you need up front to create that pressure. Big, strong, we've heard fast, we've heard it all that before, but he talked about being in that 4-2-5, and if you're going to be a master of that, as Gabe put it, well, that's better than being good at a whole bunch of things or being, you know, again, good, but are you breaking in some areas because, again, you're not,
right.
You're not expert
right.
in that area.
Right.
Maybe like you could be. So to hear that part, and it's going to be a base thing that you're looking to improve and fit players into.
Yes.
Probably a good thing. You expect physical, you expect fast.
Right.
But certainly this defense is going to be an area that's, I mean, it's like Arkansas. Everybody's been saying, well, that defense got to improve for years.
Right.
This is what you've got to get addressed, and Huff seems to have the makeup of a coach who's going to get it done.
And then finally, he left us with a little bit of science as he signed off in his introduction and press conference.
In closing, again, I couldn't be more thankful to be standing here. A message to the nation. Tigers are apex predators in the world. Apex predators are at the top of the food chain. Their job is to reset and establish order in the ecosystem. It's time for the Memphis Tigers to get to the top of the food chain and establish order and consistency in the college football ecosystem. And that's what I'm here to do. Go Tigers, go.
Wow. Wow. Apex predator. Now, that was not coming from Ryan Silverfield, was it?
No.
We were more like the prey. For the Dragons, you know, as 23.5-point favorites. Now, obviously, Jason, there's a long list of apex predators, right?
Yeah.
You have the African lion. That's kind of like the, you know, a shark is considered an apex predator. Mm-hmm. Humans are apex predators as well, just based on what we can do. You have like the bald eagle, which is, you know, the United States of America's official bird. That's also an apex predator. The grizzly is an apex predator. You can Google on your own, killer whales, et cetera. But did that move you? Did the apex predator line move you?
Again, love the ambition. I just want him to be the apex predator in the group of five ecosystem for now. I get what he's saying.
You don't want to limit it to group of five.
It's ambitious,
publicly.
And the hope is you're going to be so hot that pretty soon the power structure is going to say, we got to pull you in.
Yep.
So I appreciate the ambition, but what I'm trying to be the apex predator in is just the G5. And he gets that. He gets
for
that.
For sure. But you don't want to say, I just want to be the best of the rest.
Jeff talked about listening to him this morning. He said that was the one thing that felt like he stretched a little bit.
Yeah, he did.
They're going to look at you funny if you're talking about, you know, those that are, you know, expecting those guys expecting to advance college football, playoff, the big boys, all that stuff. They're not listening to that. But again, for us, all that matters to me out of that. As he understands, you're going to be at the top of the group of five. That's where you've got to be. That's what the gap has been.
Exactly. I loved it. I loved everything about it. I've never heard a Memphis football coach talk like that. I don't remember a lot from Norvell's press conference. I don't remember a lot from Fuentes. Obviously, it was just a different time back then. You know, Silverfield talked more about keeping the level, right? Sustaining the level, which he didn't in the end. And Charles Huff is talking about not sustaining it, but elevating it again, which it excites me. It really does. And obviously, it looked like it was a great crowd yesterday there at the press conference of some former players and things along those lines. So I'm hopeful. I love that, you know, he talked about connecting with the city and being out with his wife and getting to know people because, you know, you can't connect with the players in 2025. So you really need to know the coach, and he's going to be out. So I just like those things. I hope that, you know, he's not like the last coach who made these kinds of promises, but by the times the game started, he didn't follow through, you know, with those same promises. I mean, that's all you can hope for, right? Is that if you talk about access, you talk about all these things, yeah. Like you walk that walk.
Again, I don't, you know, access matters to me. You love to have your coach selling the program. If he's winning, it sells itself, and nobody's going to care if he's coming on your show, on the shows, if he's doing the interviews or not.
Right.
That's what does it, and that's why those guys pull back typically from those, is because at some point, John, those folks have to start asking fair questions, and you're trying to keep your narrative out there. It's natural, happens
right.
All the time. If Charles Huff goes 2-3 years being open, he's not winning. My guess is he's going to do less interviews because
right.
He realizes what's going to come with those interviews. It's part of it. But my hope is, just like, you know, we said it to start, there's probably multiple guys that can get this job done at a level higher than Ryan Silverfield, and that's competing for conference championships, that you're talking about getting this done year one, year two. I just bottom line it this way. He basically pointed out his competition in Heartland in South Florida.
Most definitely.
Everybody knows they've got the most money.
Yep.
In terms of what they're spending on the roster, between $8 to $10 million, and he pointed out how essentially he's got a head start because
yep.
He's built programs before, and it puts some pressure on you. But I'll just use a line from, and I know folks will roll their eyes sometimes talking about the Bears and Ben Johnson. But when Ben Johnson did his opening press conference, he talked about beating Matt LaFleur as the Detroit coach. You point out your competition. This is one of the things that got me fired up.
Yep.
And so to say it, to sort of set it up that way, you need to talk about what Tulane did. Heck, that's the guy you replaced at Southern Miss that was terrible. But point being, he pointed to him essentially. And in saying that you expect to be right there with them and competing for conference championships, dude, that's going to create a nice little rivalry.
Yep.
You know? And that brings juice. But I love the straightforwardness.
Yeah.
I love how he's ready to, you know, look you in the eye and tell you I'm coming to beat you. And he essentially did that to South Florida yesterday.
He did, because here's the thing.
He said, I got a head start in terms of my experience.
These are comments that if you don't back up, we'll get thrown in your face.
Just like wanting all the smoke?
Right,
did.
It's like the same thing.
And let's be real. I mean, it was all over the table. Oh, we loved it. We loved it from Penny. We loved his energy.
Loved
we loved it. Oh, this is great. Get people thinking about national championships. Oh, yeah, right. Well, you know, it'll sell tickets, too. Yes, if you're not successful, all of this does, and those questions come.
Yep.
I just think it's going to be hard not to be better than no conference title game appearances in 6 years.
It is going to be hard. There's
right?
just no chance
with
that happens.
What's being
There's
invested.
There's no chance it happens.
You know?
No chance.
How serious folks are about getting Memphis over the hump. You hear about that, you know, how much Cannon Smith was mentioned in terms of his want to for that family and what he was involved in terms of the hire and everything else.
Yep.
And Jeff was talking about it. He's the point man, sounds like, for the Smith family. They want to see this over the hump.
Yep.
And so you've Charles Huff knows that, feels like he wants the pressure. That's what I like.
Yep.
That's what I like about it. Hopefully it's a success very quickly.
Yep, absolutely. So there you have it. Charles Huff introduced as the 26th coach in the University of Memphis football program history. We will talk to Dan Wilkin about that at 12:25, his thoughts on Charles Huff and the hire for Memphis, the situation with Michigan. When we get back, we'll talk to Drew Hill. Grizzlies back in action tomorrow. We'll get the latest on the Grizzlies with Drew Hill in the NBA when we get back. Stick around. J&J, 90.9 FM. Yes.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Man. Drew Hill covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. He's a new daddy. And are you starting to enjoy it? Are you at a point now where Harper's been on this earth for a couple of weeks now, right? Maybe a month. I don't know. And are you starting to get to a place where you can kind of exhale and enjoy it a little bit, Drew?
Yeah, for sure. We were just talking about it. My wife and I were actually talking about it this morning, saying, you know, when the baby's first here, all it does is really sleep and it barely opens its eyes. But now that we're almost 4 weeks here, it is she's starting to, you know, open her eyes a little bit, look around the world, you know. We're not quite into the stage where she's like, you know, got a full personality yet or anything, but like, it's been fun to just see, you know, your kid grows so fast,
so
and
fast,
like,
bro.
The next thing is like, feels like it's every single day where you're like, oh wow, like she's really starting to become a human, and it feels more real than just like, I hate to say this because it sounds bad, but it's true. It's just like an item that you're taking care of, you know, versus like,
and that's what it is. I mean,
someone that has a personality and like, you know, is starting to learn the world. But you know, there's all these different stages and all these different things. And I was told by Mark Giannotto, he was like, you need to get with Jeffrey's wife because she did the sleep train and she figured out a way to get that baby to sleep through the night really quick. And I haven't talked to her yet. I need to talk to her because the nights have been rough.
Yeah.
You know? I think it was 2 a.m. last night. She woke up. She was like, nope, it's the middle of the day for me. I'm up. So you're going to be up too. But you know, it's fine. I can operate tired. I do it all the time. So, I'm hanging in there, and everything's going well.
It'll blow your mind. It'll blow your mind, man. One day, your little girl here, who doesn't even have a personality, is going to be complimenting you on your new phone case. I mean, that's and you're going to be like, "What the?" I remember when you couldn't even like look at things, and now you're telling me, "Daddy, I like your phone case. Like, I really like." I mean, it's just nuts to me. It blows my mind.
Is it a Raiders phone case?
No, it's just a clear phone case, you know, but like she's just so, you know, alert. Like she knows I got a new phone case and it's just crazy. It's just crazy how fast these kids grow up and talk and all of that. So
well,
enjoy it.
I'm going to sabotage this interview real quick. I got a good kick out of it when you went to Disney World a couple of weeks ago because I've heard you talk about your kids on the show and Dom. And how literally the only thing he cares about is basketball.
Yep.
And I found it hilarious that there you are at Disney World and you're around all the characters and all the kid will say is basketball.
Literally. Like literally.
It's so fitting. It's just so
it is.
Perfect.
It is. That's still his personality, bro. He just points at things and says, basketball. And someday he will have another word. I know it. But until then, we'll have to live with it. The Grizzlies play basketball. And they will be back in action tomorrow night against the Utah Jazz. You know, it looked, you know, it's just kind of amazing how the conversation about the Grizz has shifted. It looked really, really dire, you know, 10 games into the season. You know, you got Ja, that whole situation. You know, you're questioning Isolo's ability to lead them out. And while I won't say they're completely through, it does feel like they've survived that. And the question will they be better for it, Drew? Just your thoughts on the state of the Grizzlies right now before they're back in action tomorrow.
Yeah, I think there's some things that are very real that they found. Obviously we're going to do a lot of talking about Zach Edey when he plays the way that he has. And so part of, like, I want to say yes, that they are going to be better for it, because I do believe in some of the stuff that's sort of come along. The main thing is the defense, right? I believe that some of the defensive progress is legitimate, is real, is sustainable. Is it going to be sustainable when the schedule picks up and they're playing some of the best teams in the NBA? No, not on a night-to-night basis, because some of those teams are going to get theirs. But I do think that a lot of what they've found on the defensive end is repeatable. And one of the things that I pointed out on our podcast this week that I think is really interesting is, if you go look at the lineups when Zach Edey plays, the reason that their defense has been so good is not because not only because of Edey, because it features a lot of Vince Williams, a lot of Cedric Coward. Those guys are really good on defense. Jalen Wells, Jaren Jackson. There's literally no defensive hole in that lineup. And that has been, I think it ranks in the 99th percentile of the NBA in five-man lineups on defense this year. So incredible defensive lineup when you throw that out there. But it's really Edey that's made it all work. And the reason being is not that teams aren't making shots, but that they're not even attempting shots around the rim. I think if you go back and you look at some of the numbers, especially with that lineup on the floor, it ranks in the 100th percentile in the NBA, according to Cleaning the Glass. Teams are attempting shots at the rim 18% of the time when Zach Edey and that bunch is on the floor. And that's like literally one of the lowest percentages in the NBA. They've been able to keep people out of the paint, and they've been able to keep people away from the rim. And that's been really, really beneficial. But just with Edey on the court in general, if you take all lineups with Edey on the court, I think rim frequency for opponents is about 20%, again, in like the 98th and 99th percentile of the league. So he's just had such an impact in covering up space. And so they've really found something there defensively that I think is working and is repeatable and will make them better. And then when you look at the other stuff, I think you can look at Cam Spencer. I think some of that is real. Like I'm going to be fascinated tomorrow night to see what they do as at backup point guard, because it does feel like this role for Vince and, you know, his passing ability, his ability to create some chaos defensively, like, you know, for whatever reason, this did help him sort of reemerge as a rotation player. And I'm writing about him right now. He's by far, I think, one of the most interesting characters on the team if you're in the locker room, because he's such a mystery. He's so hard to read. He's so quiet. But I think some of that is real. Like him and Cam Spencer, you found roles for them that work. And this was something that Isolo talked about, you know, at the beginning of the season, was trying to figure out what players can do and where he can trust them in certain roles and certain settings. And I think the Grizzlies have found some things that are repeatable and are going to work over the course of the whole season. So I do think that they're going to be better for the early season struggles. And there is a little bit of a silver lining to what happened with all the injuries at the beginning of the season.
What kind of Ja, and we're all hoping he's back tomorrow, obviously. What kind of Ja does this team need at this point? I mean, we've talked about, you know, everything that's transpired, not just the time you've missed, but sort of John touched on it, you touched on it. You know, they found a stability without you. And so coming back to this, and especially, Drew, you're hitting on it, especially a defensive identity, it feels like, without you. What kind of Ja do you expect to see once he's back?
Well, you don't need Ja to fit in. Like, that's the last thing you're going to ask him to do. You need Ja to be Ja. Like, you need Ja to be spectacular as a creator. You need to have him be an attacker on offense and sort of get to the rim. You need that. And you need him just bought in, pretty much. You need him to buy into the way that this team is playing right now, but play his game. Yeah. There's a balance there that has to exist, right? You want him engaged on defense, because that's sort of where this team has formed its identity over the last, you know, 2-3 weeks. So you want him to be a part of that and want to be a part of that and be good in that area. And that's something he's really improved in over the course of his career. He is not a cone on defense the way some of these, you know, ball dominant guards tend to be. He's become more than that. And so I think that's a positive, but you want to see him get on the court and do that with this group. And then, you know, you want him to be able to play within the structure, but also get out of the structure at the right times. It's a hard thing to really pinpoint. And I feel like maybe I'm doing a little bit of word salad here, but it's difficult, I think, to explain. You know, you've got guys around you that are playing well right now, Ja, like, make sure you find them, but don't let that change the way that you play, you know, still attack, still pass, you know, use your very best skills, but find a way to make those skills work within what this team has done well. I think that's what you're asking for. You're just asking for a guy that looks bought in, that looks like he's, you know, prepared to come in and he's now seen the vision, right?
Right.
And you hope that he gets on the court and you feel that. You feel that on Friday night if he does indeed play, which it does appear that he will.
Jaren Jackson Jr. has been horrible. There's just no other way to say it, and especially relative to the contract that he's on. Is this something that you would just attribute to, a mid-season slump that he's going to come out of? And I think we ask you this every week, but like we ask you because like he's coming off a game on Sunday when he had 6 points against the Blazers with no front line at all. They had Yang Hansan in there, and he could not take advantage of that. Is this a mid-season slump, or is there something just fundamentally or structurally wrong with him and this Grizzlies system?
Well, I mean, I think there's, you kind of pinpointed it, but there's two ways of thinking here, and I don't want to do the cop-out answer, but like there is, it's on Jaren, and Jaren has to play better than this, and Jaren's capable of playing better than this, and then there's the thinking of, Jaren is too good of a player. Why can't the Grizzlies find a way to make him fit? And I think maybe the answer is somewhere in the middle of those two things. It's hard to figure out what the structural problem is, isn't it? Like, because it's not like he's not getting opportunities. I think he's seeing defensive looks, you know, that started maybe mid-season last year and has continued this season, and it's sort of been something he's had to learn to navigate. And like, that was something that was talked about quite a bit last season, was, you know, the next step for Jaren now is being able to pass out of double teams and find teammates and find a way to still be an effective player offensively when they try to take you away. And I think teams are still trying to take him away, but now you've reached a point where the confidence, you worry, has dipped a little bit, and he's just not playing his best basketball. So I wish there was like a clear answer to that, but I think it's somewhere in the middle of like, it's ultimately it's on the Grizzlies to find a way to get this guy going and that coaching staff. But at the same time, Jaren's capable of playing much better than he has played recently. And you want it to start on defense, right? And I will say, you mentioned the Portland game. He wasn't great offensively, but he was a lot better on defense. And I think maybe that can be the engine that gets him going on the other end of the floor. But that's why you gave him a big contract, because he's a former defensive player of the year, because he's one of the best shot blockers in the NBA. You didn't give it to him because you're expecting some offensive flamethrower. You gave it to him because he's a two-way player. He plays on both sides of the floor. And I'm mostly disappointed in the fact that the defense just hasn't seemed to be at the same level it was the past two seasons.
What would you say about the job Isolo's done in this sense? It had a lot thrown at him early, you know, stars, you just went through some of it. Jaren still feels sort of uncomfortable in this offense. You're not getting enough defensively from him. Ja, we hope, is coming back and re-energized, but there was a back and forth there. You talk about the injury issues, Edie gone for significant portion, can't have your, feels like defensive anchor, because you've talked about the identity being back, and he's certainly been at the center of that. Let's just assume they can win the next two, and doing that with the Clippers is probably, with the way they've lost to you on the road, is probably doing too much. But if they did and they get back to .500, If I had told you at this point in the season, Drew, in the preseason, right, that once they got to, what, 26 games in, that they'd be about 13-13 before all the Ja stuff, you know, with Edie coming back maybe however many games, whatever. If I'd told you that, isn't that about where we thought? And if so, what does it say about the job Bielsa's done?
It is about where we thought, right? We didn't expect this team was going to be in a playoff spot. That wasn't the expectation. I think the expectation was the play-in range with a high end, like, hey, if everything goes really well, maybe you're in that top six. And that's not out of reach right now. That's not – like, I think that's a worthy goal at this point.
Four games right now separate you from
games,
six.
There's a lot of games left to play. Is it likely? Probably not. But it's worthy of being a goal. And so to the point on Isolo, you know, I don't think it's been perfect. Clearly, it hasn't been perfect. And I don't think – I mean, there was – player buy-in when he became the head coach, but I don't think early in the season, you know, that did get shaky, right? It was shaky for a time. We know that because of Ja, but I think that there's beyond Ja and Jaren, there was a little bit there was some questioning that was going on early in the season, not beyond those two. And so to have the team now in a position where he can point to some level of success and say, look, guys, if we do this, we can win basketball games. I think that speaks to him doing a pretty good job, especially over the last month or so. But it hasn't been perfect. It has not been perfect for East Low. And I do think, you know, some of the rotation stuff is a hard thing to get your players to buy into. And I don't know, you know, if he's even reached 100% on that. Sure. To this point. Yeah. But I do think that, you know, structurally, some of the stuff that they've done offensively, you know, Edie, we knew was going to be one of the most important players on this team this season and moving forward. And for him to find, you know, success, but, you know, and do so without a true point guard on the floor, like that sort of, you know, he deserves some credit for that. And I think, you know, if the goal of the season was to get this team to a better place where you feel like they can be more competitive down the line, you know, getting Edie there was a big step. And so I think we have to give him a lot of credit for that because, you know, Edie's more healthy now. He looks faster on his feet.
Yep.
He's playing better, but he's also being put in situations where he can succeed. And so that is a big positive. That is a big plus. But the big test is coming, you know, very soon. It's getting Ja. It's getting Ja on the same page. It's feeling like things are back to more business as usual with your stars. And that remains out there as sort of the piece that he needs to figure out in order for you to say, well, yeah, this is the guy. This is the guy that we believe can coach this team and get this team to the next level. But until that happens, I don't think anybody's going to be 100% in, you know, on him. So long answer, but I would just say, I think he's done a good job recently. It hasn't been perfect all season.
All right. The Michigan job is now open and your coach, Kalen DeBoer's name is the one that everybody is bringing up. Do you want him to go?
I'm indifferent on if he goes, you know, if he goes, I'm not going to be like up in arms and upset. And I actually understand it to some degree because
I'd be out the first thing smoking if I get the Michigan offer. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Yeah. He doesn't necessarily feel like a perfect cultural fit with Alabama and the way that program is sort of thought of, you know, he's definitely a Midwest guy, definitely a more mild mannered guy. And Alabama fans have had decades of a hothead screaming at the players on the sidelines. And so they've come to, you know, sort of be used to that. And so, and there's just an immense amount of pressure at Alabama. And if we're being honest about the job, I'm not sure it's one of the two best jobs in the SEC because of the way that college athletics is set up right now with the NIL. You know, Texas is going to have endless money. Texas A&M is going to have endless money. Even LSU is going to have you know, probably a better recruiting base and just as much money as a program like Alabama. So, you know, it is a very difficult job because you're not in the top two or three financially in the SEC, yet you're expected to win at that level. And so I would get it. I would understand if he left and went to Michigan. I would not be outraged at Kalen DeBoer. I would not be embarrassed for Alabama. I think it would make sense. But I would hope that they can find somebody that could come in and do a good job. And I don't think it can. There's one guy out there that I liked prior to the DeBoer hire, maybe more than other people. And I still think that if you could find a way to get him, it'd be great. And that's D'Amico Ryans. And I don't know if he would come back, if he would leave the NFL, especially now that he has the Texans sort of headed in the good direction. And that defense is literally the best in the league. I think it's a long shot at this point, but like, that's a guy who I think would really connect to the players and connect to the program, and people love him. He obviously played at Alabama. Like, I think that would be your home run hire if the board did choose to leave to go to Michigan.
Totally. Totally right. All right, man. Well, best of luck. Thanks as always for joining us.
Thank you, Drew, so much.
And continue. Are you back working, or what are we looking at here?
I'm going to go to the game tomorrow night. So I'll be there tomorrow night. And, I'm working on a big feature on Vince Williams, so that will be out, if not tomorrow, this weekend. So looking forward to that. I'll tease it real quick. Vince is, like I said, fascinating because he doesn't really talk. Like, he's never going to talk to the media unless he specifically requested. He's so quiet. He's such a hard shell to crack. And so I sort of went back into his past and talked to some folks that have coached him previously, and they have all said sort of the same thing. And there's some really great stories in there about when he was being recruited and like college coaches being like, the heck is going on with this guy? Like, I have no idea if he's interested or not. Like, you know, he says he wants to come on a visit, but I can't even get the guy to pick up the phone. but you know, the people from Vince's past sort of saying, well, don't be offended by that. That's just Vince. He's one of the most quiet and shy people. But it's fascinating because it just clashes so much with the way he plays on the court and just how he's in every single dust up, and he plays so angry all the time. Yet the minute he steps off the floor, you know, you're fighting to get words out of Vince Williams. So it sort of takes a look at who Vince Williams is and how he fits on this team, how he fits on the team with Ja moving forward, and just who this guy is. Somebody that, you know, nothing's going to change for him besides the starting role, right? He's not in the spotlight ever because he never wants to be. So this is a chance to give a little shine to a guy who hasn't, who hasn't really gotten it because he doesn't desire to have it. So one of the more gritty, quiet, and interesting characters, I think, on the team this year. So should be an interesting look. But I appreciate it, fellas.
Looking forward
Thanks
to
as
it.
Always.
Thanks, yep. Drew. Appreciate you, my brother.
Thank you, brother.
Drew Hill covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian, joins us every Thursday here on the show. Yeah, I'm going back involuntarily to this stage that he is in. I've almost forgotten it, mm-hmm. but I'm going back in. But for especially that first one, it's like you don't even. It's just a fog. You know what I mean? So,
What's tough is that when you try to work back and get a foot back into your work life while still trying to help with the new home life, which it sounds like is right where he's at.
Yep.
And then trying to find that balance.
Exactly.
Because you need to be at home. That's what your wife going to tell you.
Exactly.
After a little while or whoever's taking care of that baby. But there's, you know, you also got to provide, baby. And so you got to get back.
I mean, at some point,
so that's the next
step. It costs money to live on this earth, you know.
Finding that balance there, because now you're much more needed.
Exactly.
In terms of at the home.
That's right. That's right.
And I can already see the headline, Vince Williams reengaged.
Vince Williams reengaged. Once upon a time, written off as Vince Williams by some.
We had to flip it back because of what he's done.
But
remember, Isolo could not play him last year.
Really couldn't.
Down the stretch. You've had to go back because of the bad point guard situation. You got four point guards out.
Yep.
You've got now... got him playmaking again. Now he's playing good base, big part of this defensive effort. And now you've brought him back. You've brought him back to life. You got KCP buying into a bench role. You got Cam Spencer out there contributing, helping you, knocking down shots, but also on the ball. There's a lot of little small role play and success stories in this. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
To have navigated all this with what you've been given and kind of handcuffed in some ways with some of the injuries.
Remember he randomly finished the
solid job.
The game four against the Thunder. Like SGA hit the game like basic winner on him there at the end. I don't know what I think it was just by like necessity because of injury that he had to play him. And I remember him hitting a few shots in that game, but he obviously wasn't playing well. He was out of the
rotation.
He lost
all his confidence.
Yeah.
He just wasn't the same guy. And
there's a lot of hope. Everybody talked about Gigi after that 2023, but really it was about, oh man, they got a guy in Vince who can be a rotation guy.
The difference was his defensive activity.
Right.
Like that you'd get it on both ends with him. And his rebounding and the fact that, you know, he could start breaks and everything else.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.